of the Grand Booksman. He's been Mahana in the past, but Maradig is the Divrei Torah. It's a great schus to hear the Divrei Torah again from him.
I might have said this over once. I might have been here. There was another game. Kistama was a year ago during the playoffs, and there was a wasn't the biggest crowd, and everyone was apologizing. But I just want to give you a limud zchus to go to a game. Or listen, David HaMelech. No one other than David HaMelech had a zamach shava. Medrash says in the beginning of Bechukaisei. The Medrash brings on the pasuk in Bechukaisei Selechu. The Medrash says Hadehu Dechshiv. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. Chishavti drachai. I planned out my path, and my feet returned me to your statutes. Right? Says the Medrash, our nusach is, well, there are two nuschos. Either that b'chol yom v'yom, David used to say, I'm going to go to a base na or a dira na. Cheshavti drachai, I plan to go to these nice places. My feet brought me back to the base of Knesset and the base of Medrash. The other lashon that's brought is that b'chol yom v'yom, David said, I planned out to go to the Bati Tratiris and Karkasias, to the theaters and the circuses, to the stadia, to the places. The Hashiva Ragli Leder Secha, the Hayuraglai my Vias I see the base of Knesset and the base of Medrash. I wanted to go there, but my feet brought me back to the base of Knesset. So the Kasha is, what's David interested in going to the theaters and the circuses? Fakarat, the Gemara of Zara, the Chachamim later on put an Isser of going to these Makaimas. What's David's Havman going to the theaters and the circuses? And you could say with the Gemara in Megillah. The Gemara in Megillah says that Pasuk is Vahayu Aluf Bi Yehuda Ve'ekron Ki Yavusi, that a seed in Sari Yisrael to teach Torah Barabim in the Bati Teretiris or Karkasias. That La'asad Lavi, the theaters and the circuses will become the Mekaymas HaTorah. It's a shayla in the Rishonim. Does that mean because there are going to be so many goyim who want to hear the Dvar Hashem that we have to go to the big, you know, the big places, or that Yidden themselves will go there? They use this Gemara as a raya. They use the Puskim use this Gemara, in fact, as a mucker, whether you're allowed to take over a church, take over a base of Avodah Zarah, and turn it into a base of Knesset, a base of Medrash. They talk about, but so maybe so one chart you could say is that this was David's hope. It was his tikva. He was always anticipating when there will be a Geula Shalema. And then Torah will be taught in the Bati Tratius and Karkasias. We'll go to the, we'll have events in these, so many, everyone's going to come. You'll have them in these big Mekaymas. But Nebuch, Geula has not yet come. V'hashiva ragli le'de sechem. My feet brought me back to the base of Knesset and the base of Medrash. I had to come back to 10th Avenue and wherever we are here in order to, that's one way you learn. But there's a Ksav Sefer that says a fascinating idea. He says, there's a tremendous lesson a person can go, learn, get by going to the theaters and the circuses. I'll use the Olympics as the example. He doesn't mention the Olympics, but Lamashal of Dugma, if you go to the Olympics and you look at the athletes and you realize that they were Mosa Yomim Valila the past 4 years, actually their entire life, no doubt, in training for their event. They're giving it their all. And you look at the spectators, how lebedic and how excited the spectators are, you know, following every play, every this, every... You can get a tremendous lesson. In fact, Ksav Sefer says more. He writes, and you look at the enormous edifices, the enormous buildings that the Goyim build to have a sporting event, to have theaters in, to have, you know, plays and dramas at there. You can get a tremendous lesson. Madach for what's important for them. You have Mesiris Nefesh, you have devotion, commitment, you have money being spent at it, you have the most beautiful buildings being built for what they value as important. Alachas Kama Vakama, for our values, for what we value, you have to put in the same effort, the same money, the same excitement. In the Mela, that's the shot by David. B'chol Yom V'Yom, I always wanted to go to the theaters and the circuses in order to get the inspiration to see Viman Tutis, to see the way people are involved and they're being Meister Nefesh, so to speak. Just the Machshava alone for Hashiva Raglei Desecha. Just thinking about doing that made me realize I better run back to the Yeshiva, because how can I be less devoted than they are devoted? And I wasn't planning on saying that, but it just struck me something else, and I really wasn't planning. I just want to piggyback off of that and say something, not Torah-dik, but just the hergish that I had the past few days. I was in Orlando when Rabbi Provalsky called me. I was with a bunch of boys from this Yeshiva's Dorish. And I just want to share with you, many years ago, I went with my kids to a place called Cypress Gardens. Cypress Gardens was the first amusement park out in the country. It was somewhere up in the middle of Florida. It was a very sedate place. They had butterfly pavilions. They had botanical gardens. They had like a dolphin show. They had very nice things. You could see nature. It was very beautiful. And it had a few simple rides. While we were there, there were hundreds of people who were dressed mamash tznius. The women had like a tichel on, like a formed tichel. All the girls they had clothing. They were wearing long clothing. Everyone was tznua, dressed well. No one wore short. The boys weren't wearing short pants. Who are these people? They didn't have yarmulkes, and it turns out they were Mennonite Christians. I don't know exactly what Mennonite Christians are. You hear of Amish people, there are Mennonites. I spoke to them. They said they do not go with their kids to Orlando. Sapasnisht. It's not good for the morals. It's not good for their kids. They won't go there. They'll take their kids to this place over here. And I mean, it made a big impression on my kids because my kids were kvetching. We don't want to go to Cypress Gardens. It's shut down since then. It's where they rebuilt Legoland, I think. What's Cypress Gardens? Go to Orlando, go to Disney, Universal. My son was actually here a few months ago with his newlywed wife, and Itaka went to Disney for a day. But the lesson that, you know, it's if a guy tells you, you know, if they're saying that there's something wrong with going there, you know, it should make an impression. It should make a difference. And I know you've never met me before, and I'm going to get to some Torah in a second. I'm sorry, but I just had a maisa that shows this. None of you here are old enough, Mistama. There used to be a guy on TV, an entertainer, a black entertainer. His name was Nipsey Russell. He was on a lot of game shows. Okay, you know, Nipsey Russell. And a very clever person. I was in the airport in Los Angeles, dressed somewhat like this in 1981, going back to yeshiva. I saw him in the airport, in the terminal, in Los Angeles International Airport. I went over to him and I said, Nipsey, is that you? He said, how do you know me? You're not supposed to watch TV. And in the old days, he used to be a bad boy. But we ended up being in the same flight, and I went over with an air sickness bag, and I had him autograph the air sickness bag. And then he came and sat down next to me. There was an empty seat. And he was talking about Shabbos and Kinderlach and Kugel and Tzedakah. He knew more Yiddish than half of our kids do. And I had a small sefer with me. I had a Ketzais HaChayshin, like a pocket-sized, a very small Ketzais HaChayshin. He picked it up. And he read, like, Kitzvatna Hachushna. He mispronounced it, but he read the letters. And then he opened it up, and he took out a pen, and he was Lahavdil. He was like, Oymer V'Kaisev. He said, Anun, Ayud, Apey, Neshamach. He spelled out the words in Hebrew, Nipsey, and Shalom to Avi with love, Nipsey. I have at home an autographed Ketzais from Nipsey Russell. And I asked Shilas whether I Mamash asked Shilas, do I rip it out? You know, should I? Choshev Yid told me, it's kedai for this Maisa to tell you that when a guy asks you, are you allowed? How do you know me? You're not supposed to watch TV. You know, you have to take a. That should be a tremendous lesson. And that's nothing to do with what I'm talking about here because I've never come here to say these things. Wasn't a joke. Okay. A successor. Okay. In the Parsha, the Gemara said, Parsha, we have the Meraglim going, but before they go, Moshe Rabbeinu is Mespalel for Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vikra Moshe Hoshe Ben Nun Yehoshua. He changes his name. And the change of the name was supposed to somehow convey this tefillah that Kol Yeshiachem Atzas Meraglim. You should be saved from the bad advice of the Meraglim. So there are two famous, by the way, one, the Kliyoker. I didn't want to. The Kliyokum says, by the way, important point. It says, you see a Peladik Azach. Musser, he says a fascinating, strong thing. Who was Yeshua? He was the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu Asher Lil Yomush Mepia Oil. He never left Moshe Rabbeinu. He was his understudy. He was the Makabal Torah for Moshe. Moshe kibble Torah Masinai and Masor li Yeshua. Yeshua, when it came to Torah, he was everything. Yet, says the Kli Yakar, so why is Moshe being mispalled for him? Because Yeshua has a problem. Yeshua comes from Ephraim, who's from Yosef, and Yosef was a motzi diba. Vayavi Yosef has the basam or alavim. He has within himself a pshaychus to lashon hara. Therefore, he's more concerned about Yehoshua, says the Kli Yakar, than anyone else, because Yeshua has it in him. For him, lashon hara is one of his midas that he needs to work on. Says the Kli Yakar, you see how difficult tikkun hamidas is. You can have all, like they bring from Bashem the Gain, that it's more difficult to be misak in one midah than it is to learn all of Shas. Here you had a person who had all of Shas, who had all of Torah, Kala Torah Kula, from his Rebbe Moshe. He's still the one who, we got to be careful, that the bad midah that he has inbred, you know, Kli Yakar can talk those words. Okay. I want to deal with the famous kasha that everyone deals with. Why? So Moshe was worried about Yeshua's mispalfim. The Kedus Yitzchak was one of the earlier places where that brings the kasha. Is number one, if Moshe is really concerned about the whole mission, if he's really concerned about the Meraglim giving good advice, bad advice, call Yishiachim at Sas Meraglim, cancel the mission. You know, why start off something that's destined to failure or that's going to have problems? And Satan's, if he thinks his tefillos could help, why is he only being mispalel for Yeshua? Why isn't he being mispalel for the other meraglim who are going to be the ones who might have a bad influence on Yeshua? And so, and you can't say, no, this is Moshe's Talmud. It's his best. You know, he's like the teacher's pet lahavdil. You know, so he cares about him more because avada that wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. Can't say those words. So why is he more concerned about Yeshua than anyone else, and he's not mispal for anyone else? This kasha is compounded when you say over the words of the Targum Yonasan. The Targum Yonasan Ben Aziel says that he says, Kadchomi Moshe and Vasnusa Yidi Yeshua. Everyone, when Moshe saw the anivus, the humility of Yeshua, he was mispalo. Hashem should save you from the bad advice of the Meraglim. So what was compelling Moshe? Oh yeah, I got a daven for him. When he sees Yeshua's anivus. Anivus isn't a negative thing. Anivus doesn't mean, you know, or he's a wimp, you know, and he can't take it. That's not what an aniv is. Moshe Rabbeinu, the aniv mekal adam, when he had to, he fought tooth and nail against with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, the Gemara says we couldn't, if not for the Torah describing Moshe's fighting with Hashem, we couldn't say such words. But Moshe, the aniv mekal adam, says, Hashem, you can't do this. I won't let you. Now, aniv is not a wimp. Moshe wasn't being a wimp, even though he's an aniv. So what does it mean? It's because of his anivus, I have to be mispalel for him. I did see a pshat. It's from the Sefer Aruch L'Chaim. I don't know who it was. He says, this is an aside, he says, the point of the anivus, it says, the Lashon is, when Moshe saw the humility of Yeshua. It says, humility is one midah that you're not supposed to see in the other person. Humility is something that a person, he's just a humble person. A person, when you could see the humility, when they wear their humility on their sleeve, when it's so forward, it's like, oh, I could never, no, please. You know, when that already might be false humility. That's a fake. A real anav, you don't see it. It's just part of his makeup. So it's when Moshe saw the humility of Yeshua, he was worried that maybe that anivus is not, you know, avada. That's okay. Let's go say over the famous pshat. There's a famous pshat that I'm going to say it over the way Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, who was the first and only chief rabbi of New York City. He was a rav. He was a dayan. He was a darshan in Vilna. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef says like this. Says there are two types of averas. There are two types of yetzaharas. Some yetzaharas are pashut ones. They're pashut, and they're easy to deal with. Others are more difficult and harder to deal with. Says, Marshall, you have some yetzaharas where it's clear that you're doing the wrong thing. The yetzahara, eat this chaz. You know how good the geschmack is, this Burger King or whatever, a Whopper Jr. is like so good. It's so good, you have to try it. You know, that, and that might be, you might, person might be, you know, compelled. Person might be, I really want to do it. I have a big taiva. But the taiva is an open one. You know clearly that if you do it, you're doing the wrong thing. There are other yetzaharas where the yetzahara makes what's really an avera into what seems to be a mitzvah. Makes it something, takes what really shouldn't be done and convinces you it's the best thing. It's a mitzvah. That person, you have to be right of him. You have to grow. You have to spay lashon. It's a mitzvah to say lashon hara about that person. Everyone has to know what this guy's like. We can't keep it quiet. Everyone has to know the truth about this person. Some yetzaharas are pashut. They're difficult, but it's clear. You're doing something wrong. Don't do it. You know what you have to do. You have to stop yourself from doing it. Others are very difficult because the yetzahara twists things and makes what's real wrong look like something that's good. And with that, he says, that's the pshat that we have in Chazal. It says, Histakel b'shloisha dvarim v'i'ata ba'a lidei chet. You should be mindful of three things and you will not come to sin. Now, it doesn't say you will not come to sin. It's what it should have said. Be careful of three things, mindful of three things, and you will not come to sin. What's the lashon? V'i'ata ba'a lidei chet. You won't come to the hands of sin. What does the sin have hands? What's that expression mean? So he says, it's the same thing. There are certain averas where as difficult as the nesayon is, the avera, it's in your hand. You have the power to control it. You know, today's Yom Kippur, I'm chalashing avek, I'm hungry, and it's so good, and it's only, and I'll eat it, you know, less than a kesevis. I can do it in an eif and heter. I can, you know you're doing you're doing something wrong. It's in your hand. What you got to do is clamp down, fight, resist, and you have that ability. That's an avera. That's an avera that's in your hands. But then there are other averas where you are in its hands. You're in its clutches. It's this furma yetzahara. It's the yetzahara when the yetzahara is getting you to do the wrong thing for the best of reasons. For the best of intentions, that's a very, very difficult yetzahara to overcome. That's the yetzahara where it's not in your hand to control, you're in its hand. It's got you in its insidious clutches, and you have to really work to overcome and to be misgaber. It says, that's the pshat by Yehoshua. The Meraglim, Moshe knew the Meraglim had a tremendous temptation to give a bad report about the land. Yehoshua also had a tremendous temptation to give a bad report about the land. But they're different, but they're coming from opposite angles. The Zohar says, why did the Meraglim give the bad report? What was their motivation? The Zohar says, because they thought that they were only the interim government. They were in the sea and while they're in the Midbar. But once we'll come into Eretz Yisrael, they'll lose their position, they're going to appoint new leaders, we're going to lose it. I don't want to lose my position. I'm the Nasi. Therefore, they had the taiva, the Yitzhahara, to give a bad report to keep their chashiva position. Now, that might be a very strong Yitzhahara, but it's an open one. It's clear. They know they're clearly doing the wrong thing. It's a selfish Yitzhahara. I'm going to give a bad report about the land to stay in there, to stay in the Midbar longer, so I'll be able to keep my position. That's a selfish Yitzhahara. Yeshua had the same thing, but a little bit different. Yeshua was the Talmud, the Mishar, the Talmud of Moshe. Yeshua, we saw in last week's Parsha, he's the one who's going to take over from Moshe Rabbeinu. In last week's Parsha, we had the Nevuah of Eldad and Medid, that Moshe meis v'Yeshua machnis. Moshe will die, and Yeshua will be the one who takes the people into Eretz Yisrael. And who's the one who heard this and reacted strongly? It was Yehoshua. According to some Chazal, it was Yehoshua who said, Adoni Moshe Kalon, destroy them or lock them up. How can they say this? The one who reacted to the Nevuah, the true Nevuah, that Yeshua is going to be leading the people into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe will die. Yeshua will take them in. That was Yeshua. Yeshua reacted to that because Yeshua was an Anav. Yeshua felt, I'm going to take over for the people, for Moshe now. I've only been Moshe's understudy for the past year and a couple months. I need more time. I have to get hadracha. I'm not ready. I'm not capable. I'm not the one for the job now. That's the pshat. When Moshe saw the anivus of Yehoshua, he said, oh, I have to daven for him. Because Yeshua's motivation, they both had the Yetzara, based on the same thing. They knew that if they don't go into Eretz Yisrael now, if they'll give a bad report, we're stuck in the Midbar. Yeshua also knew, if he gives a bad report, we'll be stuck in the Midbar, which is what happened. But their motivation was a selfish one. They wanted to be stuck in the Midbar to keep their position for another 38 years. Yeshua's Yetzirah was a selfless one, seemingly. It's, I don't want to go into Eretz Yisrael now because we have to keep Moshe Rabbeinu alive. I need to remain his Talmud. I'm not the one to take over for Klal Yisrael yet. So they both had something that they were wrestling with, but one was a selfless Yetzirah, one was a selfish Yetzirah. One was a regular one that is in your hands. Sure, you want to stay in it, you want to stay in power, but you know right from wrong, and you could just take that Yetzirah that's in your hand and throw it away. The other one was a Yetzirah. Yeshua's Yetzirah was one where Iatogoli dechet. He could be potentially in the hands of the chet. He's in the clutches because this is when you're dealing with a frumer Yetzirah. When you're dealing with the Yetzirah to do the right thing for the best, to do the wrong thing for the best of reasons, for the best of intentions, that's something that's very, very difficult to realize, to recognize, to overcome. And that's why Moshe had to be mespalel for Yehoshua more than the others. Because the others, whatever they're facing, he knows that their Yetzirah is the regular one, where they have to come to grips with where they are, that they're allowing their base nature to get the better of them. Stop it. Do the right thing. Yeshua could walk away and think, I am doing the right thing by giving a bad report. Avada, this is the right thing. Therefore, Moshe has to be mispalel for Yeshua, not the others. Because the others, they should have been able to deal with that. It's the more difficult Yetzirah. That's the frumer Yetzirah, where a person doesn't even know that they're doing something wrong. They can convince themselves that they're doing the right thing. That's the more difficult Yetzirah to deal with. And that's really a yesod that the Baal Shem Tov says, and an interesting Mishnah. But the Lashon in the Mishnah is, the Mishnah is talking about the various melachos on Shabbos, why they are usher. What's the, you know, this melacha, what's the basis for the iser? So the Mishnah says, Hashoichet mipnei mahu mechayev, the Shoichet, why is he chayev? Answers the Mishnah, Mishum tzeveya. One opinion is, one says he's chayev, there's another opinion that says he's chayev because of netilas neshama. When you shecht an animal, the iser is, the real iser is taking a life. You're not allowed to take a life in Shabbos. But the one mandom in the Mishnah says, Hashoichet mipnei mahu mechayev, Mishum tzeveya, because he dies, D-Y-E, because he discolors the skin or the hair at the nape, at the neck where the incision, where the cut is made, becomes discolored, becomes dyed by the blood. Oy, you did the malach of tzviya, mishum tzveya. Tosis there says something interesting. Tosis asks Akasha, and Tosis throws out the following words. He says, hashoichet, that when the Mishnah says hashoichet, the shoichet, they could have said, I guess, shoichet mipnei mahu mechayev. What's hashoichet? Says Tosis, shoichet is shoichet da alma. The Welt Shoichet, a Shoichet da Alma, which in Gemara terms usually means like a typical, a regular Shoichet. But literally it's HaShoichet, Shoichet da Alma, the Shoichet of the world. Like a world, a tip, says the Baal Shem Tov, it's talking about the Shoichet da Alma. Apart from teaching us a halach in Hilchos Shabbos, it's describing the Yetzirah. Because who is the Shoichet da Alma? Who is the Welt Shoichet? Who's the one who ends up slaughtering us all or causing us to cause ourselves our own problems? It's the Yetzirah, it's the Satan, the Malchamavis. The Gemara says in Sukkah that what's Hashem going to do to the Yetzirah? He's going to take the Yetzirah and shecht it. Why is Hashem going to shecht the Yetzirah? What did the Yetzirah do wrong? It tempted us? It's tried to convince us to do the wrong thing? That's its job. It's empowered to do that. It should be getting an award, you know. So that says the Baal Shem Tov, that's also what the Mishnah is coming to teach us. Ha-shoichet mipnei mahu mechayev, the shoichet, why is he chayev? Why is Hashem going to destroy the Satan or the Yetzirah for what it did? Why is he going to shecht it when it's doing what it's supposed to do? answers the Mishnah, Mishum Tzaveya, because it dies, it discolors, it distorts things. It's one thing where the Yetzer Hara goes and gets you, eat it, it's geschmack, you're going to love it. Or go to the game tonight, because the guy who's coming to speak tonight is, yeah, you know, he's not. That's an offen Yetzer Hara, because everyone knows that the game, the Heat are going to lose anyway, and you'll be happier off, better off not going to the Heat. You expecting me to say, no, the guy who's going to speak is really going to speak good? So that's an offen Yetzer Hara, where you see, you know the truth, you know you're doing the wrong thing. But when the Yetzer, where does the Yetzer Hara is not faulted for that? Where is the Yetzer, for what is the Yetzer Hara faulted? Why is he going to be chayiv and destroyed? Because he discolors things. It's when he makes what seems to be black, he makes it white or gray or white. It's where he gets you to think, avad it's a mitzvah. You're allowed to say losher against, you're allowed to say losher hara against this person. We have to give a bad report because we got to keep Moshe Rabbeinu alive. When you're faced with the Yetzer Hara, which is where you can tell yourself you're doing the right thing, it's for a selfless reason versus a selfish reason, that's the more difficult Yetzer Hara. That's with the Yetzer Hara that Moshe was mispalel for Yehoshua about, and that's the Yetzer Hara that's going to be its undoing, as per the Gemara, that Hashem will shech the Yetzer Hara. The Havamina that Yeshua had, that Yeshua might have given a bad report for the, he might have done the wrong thing with the best of intentions, you see this somewhere else also. And again, the mechanism would have been, well, if we don't go into Eretz Yisrael, that'll keep Moshe Rabbeinu alive a little longer, because we know, Moshe Meis V'Yeshua Machnas. So when we're going into Eretz Yisrael, Moshe will have died, Yeshua will take us in. As long as Moshe's around, we're not going into Eretz Yisrael. That might have been Yeshua's motivation. You see it later on in the Torah also. In Parshas Pinchas, the end of Balak, and Pinchas, we have the Maisa with Benois Midian, that they caused Bnei Yisrael to sin. In Parshas Matos, we have Hashem telling Moshe to take Nekama, to go raise an army, to go fight against the Midianim. So Hashem tells Moshe, Nikoim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'es HaMidianim. Go go avenge the vengeance of the Bnei Yisrael from the Midianim. Va'achar Te'yosef El Amecha, and then you will pass on. Go take a revenge for the Bnei Yisrael, then you will die. Moshe goes to the people and he says to the people, Nikoim Nikmas Hashem. Take revenge on behalf of Hashem. So first we have to understand, why did Moshe switch it around? Hashem said, Nikoim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. Moshe switches it to Nikoim Nikmas Hashem. But Rashi on those words, Nikoim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael Me'es HaMidyanim Va'achar Te'yosef El Amecha, Rashi says that even though Moshe knew that his death is, that he will die because of this, he knew that this is the last campaign that's going to be waged, and after this we're going to go in. So he knew that his life was on the line. Ichar, he did it ba'ahava v'loy ichar. I think he says ba'ahava. He did it with love and he didn't delay. Moshe right away went to the people and says, we have to go fight against Midian. Even though he knew it's going to mean, it's going to result in, when that war's over, I'm leaving. So he did it without delay. So what's the Havamina? I mean, was Moshe supposed to go ahead and, okay guys, we have to wage this war against Midian, so let's first of all, so we're making selective service. Everyone has to register. And then we'll have a lot of, you know, you could have, and then, you know, we have to train an army. It's going to take us a couple of years to train an army, a proper army. Is that what the point is? That Moshe, what's the Havamina? Moshe wouldn't have done it right away? Where do you see in what Moshe did that that he's going to die after this? He did it with love and didn't delay. What's he supposed to do? Is he supposed to try to delay things? That would be vicious. That would be a terrible thing to do. Where do you see that he did it the way Hashem wanted? Says the Kli Yakar. Because it's the switch that Moshe made. Hashem said again, Nekom Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. Moshe said to the people, Nekom Nikmas Hashem. What's the switch? It says, there were really two avlas done. There were two harms done because of the daughters of Midian. There was one, a harm done to the Bnei Yisrael. Because of them, we sinned, 24,000 Yidden died. It's at least that. The chol pachas, that's the harm done to us, real harm. There was also kaviyachal, a harm done to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was the Avodah Zarah that was worshipped. There was the Chilul Hashem involved. So getting rid of Midian, the Beno Midian, and because of what they did to us, really could be for one of two reasons. It could be to avenge Hashem. Look, they caused Azach Chilul Hashem. They caused people to be worshipping Avodah Zarah, which somehow, I don't know, it affects. It's Makhish Shemayim. We have to do it for Hashem's honor. And, or we have to do it for our own honor, to avenge our own covet. Says the Kli Yakar, Moshe, if he would have said it exactly the way Hashem said, if he would have gone to the people, Rabbosai, Hashem has commanded me to tell you, Nekoim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael, we have to go avenge our honor, make up, restore our dignity. If it's for our covet, we could be meichel in our covet. You know what? It pays to stay a little longer in the midbar. We'll delay. We'll train. We'll raise and train up an army in order to keep Moshe Rabbeinu around. Because as long as we're only doing it for our honor, we could be meichel in our covet. We can push it off. That's why Moshe, not in defiance of Hashem, but to give honor to Hashem, switched it from take revenge for the Yidden to Nekayim Nikmas Hashem. Let's work, let's do it and restore the covet to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once Moshe puts it on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's terms, it's, we're doing this for because of what they did to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can't say, well, you know, I mean, if we're going to go fight right now and we'll, of course, win, well, then Moshe's going to die very soon, in a few weeks. We don't want to do that. We'll push it off. We'll delay. You can't delay if you're doing it for Hashem's sake. You can only delay if you're doing it for your sake. So that's where Rashi gets it from. Even though Moshe knew that his death is dependent on it, he did it with love and did not delay. The lack of delay, it's not that he would have gone to them the next day. I mean, a Navi Shekaivish Nivuasa is Chayiv Misa. If he would have, I mean, I don't know whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, tell them today, but in any Nivuah, if you hold back, you have to say it over once you were given the Nivuah. He had to tell it to them. So what, he's not going to tell it to them? He's going to delay and wait a few days? That's usher to do. Elamai, you could say, oh, Hashem, you're giving us the opportunity to restore our dignity? Good, we'll restore our honor. But we can do it on our terms now. By switching it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's terms, and for his need, we can't push it off. That's the simon that he did it with, he had Ahava, and he didn't delay at all. But again, you see the same point. This Havamina that Yeshua might have been tempted to give a bad report about Canaan in order to keep Moshe Rabbeinu around. Here Moshe knew that the Meraglim, or that if he doesn't push the army to go fight right away, they also might do it in a way that keeps him alive for a longer period of time. I'm just going to tell you, I'm finished really with what I wanted to say, but there's an upcoming holiday. There's a holiday that passed several weeks ago, and there's one that's very soon. And there's something very, very important to learn from this holiday. And of course, the holidays I'm talking about are the holiday of Father's Day, and recently, a month ago, we had Mother's Day. Don't get too scared. There's the famous kasha. Shavuos is called in the Torah many things. I think four names in the Torah. It's Chag HaKotzer, Chag HaTzer, it's Atzeres, Chag HaKotzer, Yom HaBikurim, and Chag HaShavuos. So that's four names in the Torah. But the Torah calls Shavuos everything other than what we most closely associate Shavuos with, which is the giving of the Torah, Ma'amat and Tarasenu. It's only Merumas in the extra hay in Yom HaShishi that Shavuos is the time the Torah is given. The Torah makes no mention of Shavuos being these Ma'amat and Tarasenu. So why is that? Why is the main thing of what Shavuos is all about, for, at least certainly for us, why is that left out? So I think the best way, the Kli Yakar says the pshat, but I think it's brought out most beautifully by a letter that, I don't know how many will know what this is either, a letter that Ann Landers, dear Abby, Ann Landers, an advice columnist, a Yiddish lady actually, she used to print before Mother's Day the following letter. Letter goes like this, like, dear Ann, my son, the prominent attorney, the successful doctor, he's going to pick me up on Mother's Day, and we're going to go to the theater. We'll have a, then he's going to take me to a fine restaurant. We'll have a delicious meal. He'll give me a dozen long-stem roses. He's going to give me a love, take me home and give me a loving kiss goodnight, and then I won't see the bum till next year. The problem with Mother's Day is, if you set aside one day in the year, that's so like, Anne, what do I do? My son's going to be real nice, but one day a year you set aside to dedicate it to mothers or something, you'll have people going all out. The florists make their money, the restaurateurs, the greeting card companies make their money. But who loses out? The mothers lose out, because really every day should be Mother's Day. Zuk the Kliyakar, without that dogma, says, if the Torah is going to go ahead and say, have a day to celebrate Matan Torah. Celebrate Shavuos is the time we're celebrating Matan Torah. He says, Gevaldik, we'll, of course, we're going to have a Torah carnival. We're gonna make parades. We'll stay up all night learning Torah. And then when Shavuos is over, we'll take the Torah and put it with our Pesach dishes and our Sukkot decorations and put it. No, every day is man. He doesn't say this to Kliyakar, but and maybe that's why Shavuos is man matan Torah seinu, not zman kabbalas Torah seinu. Because what happened then was the nesina of Torah, but the kabbalah of Torah, yeah, there was we were kabbal Torah then, but the kabbalah is an ongoing affair. Every single day I wake up, I have to make a new commitment and a new kabbalah to do the right thing. My kabbalah that I had yesterday and the gevaldik day I had yesterday, doing my mitzvahs and being oved Hashem, it's not necessarily going to work for me today. And the Kliyakar says that's why. How does the Torah describe the korban? On Shavuos, it's a mincha chadasha. It's a new mincha. Says the Kliyakar, what the Torah wants from us is to give to our Kadosh Baruch Hu a mincha chadasha. That every day it has to be a new gift, a new. It has to be brand new. Bechol yom tiu beinecha kechadashim. That the Torah should be an experience, something that you feel that you've had for the very first time. You should make Shavuos. Shavuos becomes the way to describe our mincha chadasha, because Kabbalah's Torah is described as a mincha chadasha, because that's what a Kabbalah has to be, an ongoing, constant, renewed commitment. I mean, there's another way you could maybe say it. So that's the Kliyakar's pshat, that the Torah doesn't make mention of Shavuos as the Zman Matan Torah Seinu, because you might, oh, okay, Favada, Torah, Shavuos, we'll do it all. To the expense of the rest of the year. And that's not true. Shavuos is a Zman Matan Torsenu, but the Zman Kabbalah Torsenu is each and every day. So maybe one other way you could answer this kasha about Shavuos being the Zman Matan Torsenu versus the Zman Kabbalah Torsenu is with the Gemorin Shabbos says, I forgot the Mandamar. By Matan Torah, the Gemara says, I think it was Rav Samloi said that I'll call Diba V'Diba Shiyotzim Apiyah Gvura. Every word that came out from Piyah Gvura, Porchun Lishmas and Shel Yisrael. The Yidin, their neshamas fled them and they died, and Hashem was B'chaim Esim. Line later, we have the same Rav Samloi said, I'll call Diba V'Diba Shiyotzim Apiyah Gvura, Kov Tzu Yisrael Acharim Yud Beis Mil. The Yidin in terror jumped back tremendous distance. And the Malachim had to help prod them up to get back to the front because they were so terrified. So make up your mind. Did they hear, I'll call Dibur V'Dibur, did they drop dead? Or did they turn tail and run? You can't have it both ways. Either Porchun Lishmasan or Kavtsu Yisrael Achareim. And it's the same, I think it's Rav Shamloi, the same Amanda Omer saying both. So how do you, I think I once saw in the Sfas Emes, I've looked for it, I can't find it, I think that's where I saw it. Sfas Emes says they're both true, but it depended on the Kabbalah, because the Kabbalah is an individual thing. There were some people, Avada, all the Yidden said Nasi before Nishma, but there were some people who were so receptive, who were so willing to hear the Dvar Hashem, they opened up their ears, they opened up their mind, and they let the words, they let the cold penetrate, and the taka overwhelmed them, it crashed their system, and they died. And Hashem was Mechayim Esim, and they went back and they did it again the second time, and the third Dibur, and the fourth Dibur. There were others, Hagam, that they had said, notwithstanding the fact that they did say Nasa V'Nishma, but they held back. They kept their zone alarm. They kept their firewall up to some extent, and they didn't allow the words to penetrate. If you let the words of Hashem, the Kol Hashem penetrate, it kills you. There were others, who held back in the Kabbalah, and therefore, and they didn't let the words penetrate. Those people, they ran away in stark terror. They were the ones who covet to Yisrael achareihem versus porchu nishmasen shel Yisrael. And he says, that's the pshat. Shavuos is the zman matan tarasenu, but not the zman kabbalas tarasenu. Because what happened uniformly for each and every one of us was the nesina of Torah. The Torah was given to us equally. Zman matan tarasenu. It's not Zman Kabbalah's Torah Seinu, because the Kabbalah was an individual event. My Kabbalah might be different than yours, which was different than yours. So it's another way, you know, so either that could that Taichin Zman Matan Torah Seinu versus Zman Kabbalah's Torah Seinu, or like the Kli Yoker, that Matan Torah occurred then. But Kabbalah's Torah is b'chol yom tir b'necha kechadashim, k'yom shenitna. There has to be an ongoing Kabbalah every single day. I hope you have a wonderful Father's Day. I know you don't know.
So I've got the papers on the...